Welcome to the February 9th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, and the sermon is entitled, Serving Unto the Lord, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
And we are finishing up our last sermon in the series on serving. So if you can say that seven times fast, God bless you, okay? But we are winding up this series that challenges us to serve the Lord, no matter where we are, whether it is in here in our church family, whether it is in our workplace, whether it is in our homes or to the world, we are to serve the Lord. And I have challenged this church in particular. If you are not currently serving in one place, here's what I want you to know. Clifford Baptist Church has over 500 positions on places people can serve. And what we're asking is if everybody does one thing and does it well, man, it alleviates a lot of the double and triple places people are serving. And what a great opportunity it would be to serve the Lord through our church. So you pray about that. That is not the pastor twisting your arm. It is not. I want you to know that we are called to serve our Lord. If you have your Bibles today, go to Matthew chapter number 25 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time today as we close out this series. As we open scripture today, we do so from the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives serves as a pulpit where Jesus would teach his disciples what we are going to talk about today and the importance of serving. But it's also a very important place, not only to biblical history, but to Jesus himself. In Luke chapter number 21, I'm going to read this verse. You don't have to turn there. Luke 21, verse number 37. Here's what that verse says. And in the daytime, he, speaking about Jesus, he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. So we see a picture in scripture that the Mount of Olives was a retreating place, a resting place where Jesus would often spend time with his Father. It is where he would get refreshed and renewed, not for the next week, but for the next day of carrying out his Father's business. And so I certainly believe in places and times of rest, spending time with the Lord, that we can be refreshed and renewed as Jesus did. But from this place, this Mount of Olives, Jesus would pray, he would teach, he would hear from God, he would be betrayed in this place, he would be ascended to heaven from this place. And so the Mount of Olives holds a significant place in scripture and in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapters 24 and 25 are often referred to as the discourse, the Olivet discourse. It is where Jesus gives his message from this mountain. And it is the subject and answers that we're going to talk about today are mentioned in Matthew 24, chapter number 3. As they come together, Matthew 24, flip back a chapter, and here's what the disciple says. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So the subject was the end of times. How many of you are interested, fascinated, have questions, but are intrigued about end of time stuff? Anybody? A lot of y'all have a lot more faith than I do, right? Like I'm interested in it, and we're going to talk a little bit about it today, but that's not the subject of it. But the disciples are interested, and here's what they want to know. When is it going to happen, Jesus? What is going to be the sign of your coming, and what is going to be the sign of the end of the age? Now, I have to translate it all in the Amherst County slang for myself, and here's what the disciples want to know. Jesus, when is it going to happen, and what are we going to look for? And I think in 2025, many of us still ask those same questions. Okay, Lord, when is it going to happen? When are you coming back? What else can happen that needs to happen in order for Jesus to show back up? And so today, Jesus speaks through chapters 24 and 25. And I encourage you to read that sometime this week, maybe to refresh your minds about his teaching on the end of times, but he uses the parable of the fig trees and the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents and the parable of the sheep and the goats to teach a very, very important truth. And that is this: blessed is that servant whom when the Lord comes, he shall find so doing. Here's the picture of Jesus. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Don't worry about when I'm coming back. Just serve me and serve me well until I do. Until one of two things happen. Until I come or till I come and carry you home. Serve Jesus and serve him well. That was his parting message to these disciples. And so today, as many questions as they had, and they often had many questions even after Jesus taught them, and maybe we will too. But today we open the book of a very, very important period. This period is after the tribulation. So according to what I believe the next step is Jesus is going to show up and he is going to pull the church and the believers out of the world. That will set into motion the tribulation. It is 7 years of tribulation that will happen. 3.5 years, the latter 3.5 years of that tribulation are going to be very, very, very dark days. But scripture today picks up after the tribulation and after the Antichrist and after the battle of Armageddon and after all of those things that are going to happen. And here is what happens. Jesus is going to descend to the earth to set up a 1,000-year reign. It is referred to as his millennial reign. Now, I don't want to confuse you. Hopefully, I have your interest, okay? But here's what I want you to do real quick. Look at Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24 real quick. Look at verses 29 through 31. Here's what part of this teaching includes. Jesus saying, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then he begins a parable in verse number 32. Now flip back to chapter number 25, verse number 31. This picks back up and it says this: when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Today's message is titled, Serving Unto the Lord. Serving Unto the Lord. And when we understand the darkness of the tribulation period, remember, the light and salt are out of here. The church is gone. There is chaos. There is darkness. But there is still opportunity during those 7 years of tribulation to be saved. And during those 7 years, as Jesus comes back to establish his 1,000-year reign, he will have work to do when he comes. As we see in verse number 31, when we think about serving unto the Lord, here's point number one today: glory given. I want you to see the glory that is given. I don't know about you, but the end of times fascinates me. I love it. I love reading about it. I love studying. There are many opinions about it. Every theologian has their own opinion about what it's going to look like. And so you will see agreements and disagreements to what I have told you today. But from this passage, we see the darkness that the tribulation offers. Remember, the sun and the moon and the stars are nowhere to be found. And out of heaven comes the Son of Man with power and with glory. And it is that heavenly glory that he descends to this wicked old earth. I believe the people of the church, those that are saved, will come back during that time and be with him. It mentions angels here as well. I believe as that 1,000-year reign is set up, The church will be a part of that. We will be on the other side. But there are going to be those that survive that 7-year period of tribulation that are going to have to be sorted out. So here's what I want you to see. Right now, Jesus sits on a throne of grace. And that throne of grace, he is able to give grace and he is able to extend salvation to anyone that would come and believe him as Savior. He sits on a throne of grace. But what we know today is that throne of grace is coming to an end. One day it will become a throne of glory, but also a throne of judgment. Now listen to me. The world does not like that word. And the church does not like that word. But here's the reality. Right now, we have a loving Savior that offers grace upon grace upon grace. But where we pick up Scripture today, he descends out of heaven, and it is not the gracious King. It is the powerful King who comes in glory, and he comes to judge those during the tribulation period that have made it. And what do we see from that? Well, we see the angels coming. I believe the church will be a part of that. And as Jesus takes up that throne, he begins to set up his glorious place for 1,000 years. As he sits upon that throne of grace, we often understand what grace is on this side. But during this period, as he comes, we want to see God in his glory. But do we really? Do we really? Here's the reality, folks. Listen, Jesus could come back today and set this all in motion. It's all in motion. If Jesus comes today, it's all in motion. The tribulation begins. That's unnerving, but that makes the importance of every day. This morning, we sing songs about what a glorious day that will be when we enter heaven, when we see Jesus. Yes. But listen, here is the heart of Jesus. Serve me until I come or till I call you home. And in that, you will receive blessing from it. I want you to understand, God is glorious. But how are we serving God in all of his glory today? We're not to sit around and wait for that day or the one day when we get to heaven. We are to serve a glorious God this day. And how many of you know that we do? Amen? We serve a glorious God. Look at verses 32 through 36. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The second thing I want you to see today is this. Serving separates. Serving separates. Now everybody pay attention because I don't want to mislead you here. Here's what you need to hear. Works do not save you. Works do not save you. You could be the nicest person, do the most for all of humanity and all of the world, and still not have Jesus. Only Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy can save us. But works do not save us. But Adrian Rogers says this, works don't lead us to heaven, but they follow us to heaven. And I believe that with all my heart. All my soul, I believe that if you are saved, you should be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In this moment, we see the Lord on his throne. The nations have gathered around. And every person alive, when he returns, stands before the Lord. And one by one, it's not group by group, it's not country by country, it's not nation by nation. One by one, he begins to separate them one from the other, the sheep from the goats. Remember, he is judge. He invites those on his right that they will inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for them. And Jesus says this, I was hungry and I was thirsty. I was a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. And in those moments, you ministered to me, you gave me, you took me in, you clothed me, you visited. Now, I know that many of us can sit here and read this today and say, look, I don't do any of those things. Am I in trouble? Not necessarily. Some groups read this and say, if we're not doing that, then you're going to hell. Not necessarily. This scripture is used for those who love a social gospel. And I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole nother sermon. But there is a difference in the gospel and social gospel. You can do all the good things. Here's what the social gospel is. Doing all the good things to all the good people and you leave Jesus out of it, you have hurt them instead of helped them. The gospel helps in the name of Jesus. And that's what the church is commissioned to do. To go with the gospel. Serving separates. Remember, you may look around you and say, okay, as we read this and we see that Jesus was hungry and thirsty, he was a stranger, naked, he was sick, and he was in prison. I can do some of those things, but remember, you're in the last of the tribulation, which are the darkest days to be a believer. And in these days, a cup of cold water will go a long ways. A meal will go a long ways. Remember, during those tribulation period, if you do not have the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy or sell. So a meal will be something. As we see these basic needs being met because of the destruction, because of the wrath of God being poured out on the world, and because of the absence of the salt and light, there are going to be some hard days. But here's what I want you to know. God always has a remnant. He has from beginning of our Bible to the end of the world. God has a remnant of people that are still faithfully following. And even in those dark days of the tribulation, there will be people that are serving in the name of the Lord. Notice, Jesus uses the personal pronoun I. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in each of these instances, someone was neglected. There was a need, and it was not overlooked. Again, serving does not save, but the saved should be serving. It is the reason given for the invitation into the kingdom that has been prepared. You come in because you have done it to the least of these. May mercy and grace fill our lives. Listen to me, Christian. May mercy and grace fill our lives to the point that it spills over to others. That's the picture of the Lord at work through us. So we see that serving separates. And that separation begins with the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Look at verses 37 through 40. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The third thing I want you to see is the sustained sheep. Now remember, Jesus is on his throne. One by one, he is sorting them out left and right, left and right, left and right. And those sheep on the right are the ones he welcomes into his kingdom. And they have a question. And that question is in verse number 37. When did we see you in these situations? Lord, you're our Lord. Jesus, we've been with you for all of this time. When did we see you in these areas? And here is what Jesus says in verse 40. He says, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. They are given the reason as they ask the question, we didn't see you in these conditions. And Jesus, if it was you, I would have known it was you. I would have known it was you that was thirsty, and I would have gave you something because you are my Lord. And if you didn't have clothes, Jesus, I would have gave you the shirt off my back because it was Jesus. How many of us, maybe it's a family member and they're close to us, and when they're in need, we will help. But when we come across the path of someone we don't know, we're hesitant. As we should be. That's not wrong. But I've never approached a situation without praying. Jesus says this, you have done it unto the least of my brethren. You have done it to me. The commendation to the faithful during the tribulation period was this. Jesus changed their life by faith, and they impacted others in his name. The basic necessities of life were met by who? Not by a government, not by the enemy, but by the people of God. The people of God met the basic needs during this tribulation period. These sheep on the right hand were believers who, because of their faith, ministered even to the least of the brethren because they love their Lord. How will the sheep be sustained? They will be sustained by their Lord. I'm looking out this morning, and I'm not here to judge you because that's not my position. Only Jesus can judge your heart, your situation, your faith. But here's what I know. I'm looking out this morning to the sheep, to the believers. And maybe in a crowd this big, there are those that don't believe. Maybe this morning there are people watching that don't believe. But here's what I know as we understand this. There's something that the people of God should be doing, not just in the tribulation time. We should be ministering on behalf of our Savior. And if that looks like rocking a 2-year-old, you better rock that 2-year-old. If that is to serve in a household that's hard, as a believer, do it. If it's in a workplace where all the worldly things are going, and maybe at break time you can break open the bread of life and share it or say something or invite somebody. Maybe you see a person in need and there's a cold bottle of water. Listen, we got bottles of water laying around here everywhere. But in this time, this is ministry. What can we do? Not on behalf of ourselves, not to post on social media to say, look what I did, but in the name of Jesus, share his love with somebody that desperately needs it. There is one thing that sustains me as a believer, and I pray that it sustains you as a believer, and his name is Jesus. Jesus sustains his sheep today and in the days that are to come. Here is the interesting thing. The sheep are not even aware that they are helping others. It's a spirit of serving. It's a spirit of helping. It's a spirit that is in touch with the Holy Spirit. And as God leads, you are obedient to that. Church, where are you serving? Don't you dare say in Alaska. Don't say in Egypt. We have had people go there. Where are you serving? It comes down to you. I'm going to address one by one, just like the Lord does. Where are you serving and who are you serving in the name of Jesus? Think about that. That's your question for the week. You and God figure that out. There's one more point that I want to get as we close today, and that is this. I want you to see the greedy goats. How many of you have goats in this room? All right, I've been around them. They'll eat anything. You know that, right? Anything. Let's look at 41 through 46. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Point number four, I want you to see the greedy goats. Take note, there are only two sides in all of this teaching. The right and the left, the sheep and the goats, his kingdom are everlasting separation. Those on the left are now cursed and separated for all eternity. As I referred to a little bit earlier, these are the ones that possibly took the mark of the beast in order to survive. They never trusted in Jesus Christ through this time frame as Savior, and their faith did not reach out to those around them. And because of that, they are banished to a place, and I don't say this lightly, they are banished to a place called hell. Notice at the end of verse number 41. Look at me before we look there. Look at me real quick. This place is not prepared for his prized creation. But there will be many according to the Bible that endure it. Look at the end of verse number 41. It says, this place of everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. It is the resting place apart from God, prepared for the devil and his followers, those fallen angels. That's where this place is prepared. But there will be human beings there. During this judgment period, you see, as Jesus sorts out and he separates, he mentions the goats to their condemnation, that they did not do anything for the least of these, and so they did it not for the Lord. The goats, they have survived tribulation. They have survived the hardest days, I believe, that this earth will have. They made it through it. And as they stand before the Lord Almighty, they will be condemned to a place that is eternally separated from God Almighty. As we look at these truths today, what is there to glean? Don't you go home and say it and tell somebody, the preacher told me I better tighten up. If somebody told you that, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? But here's what I'm saying. Christians, we should be leading the charge. We should be leading the charge. The truths from today are these two simple ones. Jesus is coming back. According to the Word of God, this is not something I've made up. According to the Word of God, the truth is Jesus is coming back. And it could be today in the believers, it would be a super Sunday if that happened today. Ain't no football game got a nothing on hold of that. If I see Jesus today, I'll see the rest of y'all in heaven, okay? That would be a super Sunday. Jesus is coming back. But when we think about that, some of us get nervous or scared or worked up. Some of us have questions. We feel like we've got to know it all. Here's what you need to do. Just put your faith into Jesus Christ and trust Him. Know Jesus. Knowing He's coming back teaches me this. I need to know Him more and more every day. And today, if you have never trusted Jesus as Savior, here's what the Bible teaches. You need to today. Don't put that off. Don't delay, because the world could change today. Eternity could change today for you if you come to Him by faith, putting your trust in Him, repenting of sin, turning to the Savior. He will save you. Today, if that's what you need, don't walk out of this door. This Sunday could change your life. Believers, Jesus is coming back. That should not scare us. That should give us great hope. And where it challenges me is on the second point, live out your faith. As you grow in the faith of the Lord, there are going to be opportunities to learn. There are going to be opportunities to serve the Lord. There are going to be opportunities to help others in Jesus. There are going to be opportunities to share Jesus. We must figure it out day by day and faithfully follow the Lord. You're not here today following Clifford Baptist Church or following Jeffrey Campbell. You are here because you love Jesus. And we are to serve Him all the days of our life. Let's put our faith in action. When you encounter situations like we have read about today, seek the Lord's input. There's a beggar on the street. When you're pulling by in your car, say, Lord, should I give him something or not? When you see somebody trying to struggle get into the door, if you as a Christian don't hold that door, shame on you. If family and home is hard, and because you love Jesus, you'll roll up your sleeves and you'll get back down in the mud. And because you love Jesus, you'll love even when it's hard and even when it hurts. You have family members and friends that don't know the Lord. The best thing to do is to serve them out of abundance of your love for Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how. I'm just asking you to be obedient to what the Lord puts on your heart. How many of you have walked by a situation and said, I should have done this? Testify right now. Raise your hand. Go ahead. Today, let's start serving in the name of Jesus. Whether it's in the church, outside of the church, we're called to be the salt and light. One day those sheep and those goats are going to be separated. But here's the reality. If that does not happen and the Lord prolongs, there are going to be people that die without the Lord that maybe come across our path. Simply put, let's just be Jesus. That's our challenge on this Super Sunday. Serve in the name of our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to look to you in the realm of serving and living out our lives as Christians. Lord, I pray for every believer in this room today, God, that you will press upon their heart maybe a name, a person, a loved one, a co-worker, a friend, that in the name of Jesus, that you will make a way that they can share that good news with them, that they can serve Him. And by serving, we serve you. Lord, help us today to become servants of the Most High King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to grow in those areas, be bold in those areas, and trust you with all of those situations we encounter. Lord, if there's one today that is missing out on the greatest hope this world has to offer, Lord, I pray that you will minister to that heart and to that one today, that your Holy Spirit will knock on that door and begin the drawing process. God, I pray, Lord, that as we surrender to you as Christians and that one surrenders their life to you as Savior, God, that you will work through the lives of the people gathered at Clifford Baptist Church today. Lord, lead us out this week, I pray. Let us love others in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.